We're holding up okay on the days, but five lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, so we talk about the Purim of Se'um and Nisrafim, when the people who are involved, the people who carry them and are involved in burning them, become Tomei and their clothes become Tomei. We said there's Machlokas Tanurim, at what point the people who are involved with it become Tomei. The Tanakhama had said when they leave the Azara, and we talk about what happens if only some of them left, and what if only some of the animal was taken out, etc., etc. Meanwhile, Reb Shimon had said that they only become Tomei when the fire catches on to most of the animal. So we dealt with how we know the Chachamim, how the Chachamim get their opinion. So they daushin from Sukkim that since we know from Sukkim that it has to be outside the three machnas, it has to be outside Yerushalayim, then why does it need to say only chutz machna why does it have to say Yotzi on the Chutzla Machna when it comes to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur? Is to tell us that as soon as it goes out of one Machna, as soon as it goes out of the Azara, then the people become Tomei. Now, Reb Shimon, Hayim Chutzla Machna Mai Ovidle, what is Reb Shimon doing with those words in the Chutzla Machna by the power of Yom Kippur? The answer is Miboy Lechitanya. He uses it to teach us what we learn in a different different braisa. Rabbi Yezer Omer, Nema Kan Chutzla Machna, but Nema Lahal Chutzla Machna. That he's, you have here Chutzla Machna, and you have another pasuk that also mentions that also mentions by the Parah Aduma taking it in Chutzla Machna. Ma Lahal Chutzla Gimel Machnas. So just like by the Parah Aduma, it's outside of all three Machnas. It takes place outside of Yerushalayim as a whole. It takes place on Harazesim. Afkan Chutzla Gimel Machnas. The same way here by the Par and Sora Yom Kippur, they're burnt outside all three Machnas. So he doesn't need to learn it from the power of Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur and the power of Parim Mashiach. And he continues Malahalam. So therefore he's using the pasuk for that rather than to teach us that as soon as it goes out of one machna, or Malahalam Mizrach Shal Yerushalayim. And just like by the Parah Aduma, it took place east of Yerushalayim, which we know that Rashi points out because the Kohen who was doing the Parah Aduma had to be facing towards the front of the Heichal when he sprinkles the blood of the Parah Aduma. And since the entrance to the Heichal was towards the east, that means you have to be standing towards the east on Harazesim. So just like there, it had to be on the east. Afkan, Mizrach, Hashem, Yerushalayim. The same way over here, says Rav Shimon, the burning of the Par and Sarah takes place east of Yerushalayim. Okay, so therefore, so Rav Shimon says there's no pasuk that says that they become Tomei as soon as they go out of one Machna, they become Tomei only when they actually burn it. Okay, the Gemara says, Elo l'Rabbanon, Heichas Sarif Lehu. Okay, well then Reb Shimon is learning from the Pasuk, by learning from Gzeirah Shavah with the Parah Aduma, that they're burnt east of Yerushalayim. What about according to the Chachamim? They don't learn this Gzeirah Shavah. They don't have to learn the Gzeirah Shavah. A person learns Gzeirah Shavah, he can't make it up by himself, only if he learned it from his Rebbeim. So Reb Shimon had learned this Gzeirah Shavah from the Rebbeim, the Chachamim did not. Maybe they do learn from the Purim and the Siriam and the Sirafim. Maybe they do something with this pasuk b'chutz l'machna. But in any case, they're not learning from Parah Aduma. So where are they learning that it takes place? So we're pointing to them. Elo v'rabbanan heichas tarif l'hu. In what direction do they go in order to burn the Parah and Sirah and the Sirafim? And the answer is Kedatanya, as we learn in a braisa. Heichem Nisrofim, with Sfon Yerushalayim, Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. Where are these Purim and Siriam and Nisrofim burnt? Outside, in the north of Yerushalayim, outside the three Machnas. Rashi points out, the Chatzos is shefted in the north. Therefore, symbolic, now, of course, here we're talking about the burning of it, which takes place outside Yerushalayim. It's not obviously a requirement to do it in the north. But nevertheless, symbolically of it, therefore, they had the place where they took it to burn was also north of Yerushalayim. As I talked about yesterday, there's an area in what's now the neighborhood of Sanhedria, or that area, where they found large piles of ashes, and they figure that seems to have been the base of Geshem. Okay. The Gemara brings more on the topic. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Omer, a base Hadeshin Yisrofin. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says they have to be burned on the base Hadeshin, which means there has to have been Deshin beforehand. Implying, Rashi says, according to the Tanakhama, that would be necessary. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, it's fine. You have a place that you designated for the place of the Deshin. It so happens they haven't yet deposited any Deshin over there. Then you have, comes Yom Kippur, and they have the Purim and Siriam and Yisrofim, or comes a Parahelim Dovah Shal Tzibur, or whatever. Fine. They can go ahead and burn it there, no problem. But Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying there has to already be ashes there, So now Rashi points out Tzorach Sheyakdim L'Shom Deshen that it should be called Shefach HaDeshen. So the Sfas Emes points out that actually is Mashma, that even if there's no ashes there right now, as long as at one point ashes were there, then it's fine. Which in that case, that would mean, for example, when the third base of Mikdash is built, Shibonim Meherav Yamenu, then it wouldn't, assuming that area is still outside Yerushalayim, then in fact they would be able to continue using it. There's no ashes there now. According to that, it would be fine because at one time ashes were there. But on the other hand, he says that the Loshen Shehei Shom Deshen maybe suggests that there actually needs to be physical ashes there. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Man Tana de Polagaled of Yosef Aglili, which Tana disagrees with Yosef Aglili on that? Rav Elazar ben Yaakovi. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, regarding the power of Chayim Mashiach, Al Shefa Chadesh and Yisoreth, it should be burned in the place where they pour the ashes. That means Shehei Shom Deshen, Sheyakdim L'Shom Deshen. It means there has to be ashes over there, or there has to be ashes there from before. So that's the point, and that's the point of Yosef Aglili. On the other hand, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Shehei Mekoyim Meshufach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that no, the words Al Shefach HaDeshen doesn't mean that ashes have actually been poured there. It means it has to be a pouring area. It has to be a slope where it's possible when you're dipping out the ashes from the container that they pour down the slope. So therefore, so it comes out that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov apparently doesn't hold that there needs to be ashes over there. He just holds that the topography has to be appropriate for the Beis Hagesh. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says that's not really a proof. Maybe the only argument is whether it has to be a slope, but both of them would agree that it has to be a place where there is or was deshen. Okay, so we don't really know whether Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would disagree with Rabbi Yosef Aglili on that. But. Okay, finishing off about this matter of the burning. Tonanabonim has served the Tamim Vodim. The people who are burning the Purim and the Seirim and the Seraphim are the ones who they and their clothes become Tomei. Rashi points out this Braisa is necessarily according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon is the one who said that they become Tomei only when they're burning it, only when most of it is on fire. According to the Tanakhama, they should be Tomei regardless. On the other hand, the Karen Oda and the Sfas Emes point out that, look, you know, the Chachamim also agree that those who are involved with the burning become Tomei. They just say that also the ones who carry it become Tomei. So why does Rashi Dabka insist on saying that this Braisa has to be according to Reb Shimon, when on the face of it we can equally well understand it to be according to the Chachamim? Okay. In any case, so that's what the Braisa is saying. Hasurif matamim begodim. Those who are burning it become tamei. They and their clothing. The loyam matas is the ur matamim begodim. Now, the one who actually lights the fire does not become tamei, because lighting the fire is not considered. He's not actually burning it itself. And also somebody who just sets up the wood for the purpose is also not matamim begodim. Only the ones who are actually burning it. So ve'ezeu asurdif. So what is the definition of asurdif then? Who becomes tamei? I'm a sayeya, the shas srefa, anybody who's helping during the burning. So it could be, for example, it could be adding the pashas. It could be adding more wood. It could be stirring the coals. It could be moving things around so that they burn better. So those kinds of people become tamei. In fact, by the way, actually, we're saying that the Karen Ora and the Sfas Emes wonder this Braisa could be a point of the Chachamim. In fact, the Rambam does in fact learn that way. The Rambam passes them that the Chachamim, that they become Tomei as soon as they carry it out of the Azara. But he also brings this Braisa implying that he's saying that nevertheless, these things are not done necessarily as part of the burning. They're done as a prerequisite for the burning. So it would in fact be that a point of the Chachamim as well. That these people are not tamei. So the Rambam includes that anybody who burns them, he mentions this in connection with Parah Adoma, would include the people who turns over the meat so it burns better, or adds more wood, or stirs the coals, etc. So those kinds of things. So those people are the ones who become tamei. Now, continues the Braisa, Yocho Ach Mishinasu Ether. You would think they become Tomei even if they continue to work with it, even after it turns into ash. Metamim Godin, you would think that still with Metamim, the clothes, the people and the clothes. No, Tamavoyma. The pasuk is Vasodah Oisam, the one who burns them. The Oisam is a mute. So therefore, Oisam Matamim Gadim, only when they still exist as a noticeable thing, are they Matamim Mishnas and Afer. Mishnas and Afer, and Matamim Gadim, once they become ashes, then they're not Matamim Gadim. Reb Shimon Omer, on the other hand, Reb Shimon holds, as he said in the Mishnah, Oisam, well, he learned the drasha a little differently, Oisam, the Tamim Godim, Nitach HaBosser, and the Tamim Godim. Once the flesh is melted and then dissolved, then it's not the Tamim Godim. Now, there are in fact different Gyusois over here, and in fact, Rashi, for example, says that this part is not Reb Shimon, but rather Reb Elazar for Reb Shimon. The parallel Gemara in Yuma also has it that way. So then it would come out that we don't know from this Braisa what Reb Shimon holds on it. Well, we would say according to Rashi that your part of the Braisa is Reb Shimon, and this part about Nita Habosha would be not Reb Shimon, but Reb Elazar for Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, "My Benai, who? What's the practical difference between them? Between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon, between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon, according to our Gemara, or between the Tanakama and Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon, or between Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon, according to that Gemara?" Amar Rava, "Ikar Benai, the Shavi Chaducha. The Nachmina would be, what happens if you just made it into charred meat? So it is Nita Habasar. It can be considered that it's dissolved in the sense that all the moisture of it is gone, and now it's a hard piece." But it's not ashes. So according to the Tanakhama, nevertheless, it's still Oisam, and therefore it would be Matama, anybody who was still involved with the burning at that point, whereas according to Reb Shimon, or Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon, it would not. Hadron Allah to, by the way, in Rashi, when Rashi says Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon, Fakir Tagoy Sabach takes out the words Elazar ben Rebbi and says that it's supposed to be Reb Shimon, so it is, according to him, it is, after all, supposed to be Reb Shimon's opinion represented at the end of the Braisa here. Okay. Hadron Allah to Boyan. The next two prakim of our Masechta, the last two prakim, are going to be dealing with the matter of Shchutei Chutz. The Torah tells us, after the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, in Parshas of Achrimos, the Torah warns us that a person is not allowed to bring a Korban outside the Mishkan, or in later times, outside the Beis Mikdash, and if he is, then he's Chayav Karis. There's two sections in the Torah that talk about it, and we're going to go through now, and we're going to discuss the details of those dinim, for what is he chayav, for what is he not chayav, and so forth. So b'mezid he'd be chayav kares, and b'shoyug, this is one of those things where you have to bring a chatas. So let's start out with, and the Mishnah says, Hashoychet ma'amala b'chutz, if a person shechts a korban, and he offers it outside the azara, and it's all behelam echad, Chayev ala shchita v'chayev ala Allah. Then he's going to be chayev separately for the shechting and separately for the offering, because there's two different psukim that says over there. One pasuk says asher yishchat shorei kesev, and a few psukim later that says asher yala oila oizavach. So we learn from that then that the shechting is considered is an issue of its own, and the offering is an issue of its own. So now if he did it b'mezid, you can only get chorus once, but if he does it b'shoigeg, then and it was behelam echad, he's still bringing two chatois because it's two different gufei aveira. Rashi explains it's like the equivalent of breaking Shabbos and eating chaylev or behelam echad, where he has to bring two chatois because they're two separate aveiras. We wouldn't say, in other words, that they're just two aspects of the same aveira. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, I mean, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says it's not so simple. Shafat b'fnim behel b'chutz. Sure, if he shefted the korban in the azara, and then he took it outside and offered it chayev, then he would be chayev, because now he took something which could have been brought in the azara, and he offered it outside. But Rabbi Yosef Aglili says if he shefted it outside the azara, and it's already possible at that point, and then he offered it outside, then he's possible. Shaloi hela el adav possible, because all he offered is something that's possible anyhow. So the rule is we're going to have throughout these parakim, we've touched on it earlier in our Masechta, the rule is it has to be royally scabble between it. It has to be that what he's offering outside the azara has to be something that had he brought it in the azara, it would have been an acceptable korban. So now Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, look, once he shefted it outside, it's not an acceptable korban anymore. Therefore, why should he be chayev another chatas for offering it outside the azara? Omruloi, the Chacham answered him, listen, you know, and if you have a case where a person shechts a korban inside the azara and takes it outside, kiven sheitzia psolei. The fact is, as soon as he takes it out of the azara, he makes it possible. And nevertheless, the Torah is still making it clear, and even you, Rabbi Yosef, really agree, that he's going to be chayev in that case. So therefore, so just because it was shechted outside is not a reason to exempt him from another chattas. What Rabbi Yosef really will answer to that, we'll have in the Gemara in a couple of dasim, Bess Hashem. This kind of thing, by the way, of Shchut Echutz was an enormous problem over and over throughout the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. We find over and over again, we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, there were certain times in Jewish history when you were allowed to have bummers. You were allowed to bring korbanos on a private mizbeach. We're going to learn about it in the last few dafim of our Masechta. But outside of those times, in brief, we have like this. During the time when the Mishkan was in Midbar, 40 years when they were in the Midbar, 39 years, whatever, with the Mishkan, then they're not allowed to bring korbanos anywhere else. In fact, there's even an opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that they weren't even allowed to shecht animals as a cholin, just to eat meat. If they wanted to shecht an animal, they had to bring it as a korban. Then they came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a 14-year period while they're conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael and Bama Samutar. Then they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh. Now it became Osir again. During that time in Shiloh, we do find, you have two stories in Sefer Shoftim that seem to indicate that they brought Korbanos outside. There are a couple of stories that seem to indicate they brought Korbanos outside the Mishkan. There's a different Mephoshim talk about different possibilities. We have a story with Gidon, where the Malach tells him to put the food on a rock and then the Malach sets it on fire. You have something similar with Shimshon's parents and that Torah, Parshas Shlach, same thing. So before we talk about those various possibilities, it might have been Horas Shor, it might have been a one-off thing that the Malach said that the Malach being in human form at that point is telling them that such a thing is mutter in this unique circumstance. It might be that they didn't mean to bring it as a korban at all, that they just put it on the rock because they thought that he's a human being and they wanted to serve him food, and instead he set it on fire. Fine, he's a Malach, he's not bound by mitzvahs. So you have a couple of possibilities there. You have also, it mentions in connection with Pilegish Begibah, that they came to Beis El and they brought korbanos over there. Does that mean actually Beis El is in the city? And in that case, and that would be another unique exception, or would it be Beis El means, after all, the house of Hashem, so maybe it actually means the Mishkan and Shiloh. In any case, during that period, Bamas lost. After that, Shiloh was destroyed. You had Noiv and Givon. The Mishkan was in Noiv, then in Givon. During that time, Bamas were allowed. And then after that, the Beis Hamikdash was built, and Bamas are never allowed again. Nonetheless, we find throughout the time in the first Beis Hamikdash, over and over, it says even by most of the kings who were tzaddikim, it says that people continued to bring korbanos on Bamas. So it seems people have gotten used to, during the periods when it was allowed, people have gotten used to bringing korbanos on Bamas. And even when the Beis Hamikdash was built, it was hard to get them away from that. And it could be that the kings of Yehuda, even the tzaddikim, maybe figured, you know, look, it is also, it is chayav kares, but look, it's the least worst option. The alternative is, if we prevent them from doing that, they're not necessarily going to come to the Beis Hamikdash. They may well just bring korbanos to Getchkes, and that would be a lot worse. So they may have just figured it's like the least worst option. One possibility, by the way, I don't want to get too far off topic, but one possibility is once Yerovam set up this Egle HaZahav, and part of his whole propaganda for that was precisely that the Beis Hamikdash is not really the place that Hashem chose, and therefore we can set up Bate Mikdash wherever we want, including his two Egle HaZahav, it could be that even many people in the kingdom of Yehuda, even though they had the Beis Hamikdash among them, could be that many of them bought that propaganda and said, you know what, maybe it's true. Maybe Yerovam is right. He is a Talmid Chacham, after all. At least he passed himself off as one. So maybe he's right, and maybe the Beis Hamikdash is not where we necessarily have to go, and we're allowed to bring korbanos elsewhere. Eventually, Chizkiyahu got rid of all of that. Later on, Yeshayahu had to do it again, and eventually that kind of thing of bringing korbanos on bombers died out among the Jewish people. Okay. So now, having talked about this machlokas, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, getting back to the Mishnah now, we had Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Chachamim disagreeing again. If a person shechted the korban outside and then offered it outside, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he's chayv only one chatas for the shchita. According to the Chachamim, he's chayv two for the shchita and for the halal. So now the Mishnah digresses to bring a similar machlokas, also between Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Chachamim, that has the same kind of structure. Now, we know how Tomei Sha'omok. We know that if a Tomei person eats Kodshim, Ben Kodesh Tomei, Ben Kodesh Tar, whether the Kodshim themselves were Tomei or Tar, Chayev, then he's going to be Chayev Achatos when he did it for Shoti. Now, what happens is, though, that you have a similar machlokas. So, Yisag Lili Omer, Tomei Sha'ochol Tar, if a Tomei person ate a korban that is tahor, chayev, then sure, Rabbi Yosef really says he's chayev achatas. The tomei, she'ochal tomei, but if a tomei person ate a korban which is also tomei, which anyway was off limits, Rabbi Yosef really says potum. Shaloi ochal ala dava tomei. Because look, all he ate was something which is anyway tomei. And therefore, so why should he be chayev achatas for the fact that he was tomei and he ate it, when anyway it was off limits because it was tomei? Omruloi, the Chum answered him, Af Tomei she'ochal as a tahor, and what happens in the case of a tahor person, of a tomei person who eats a tahor korban, Tivin shenogabai, when he holds on to it, Timuhu, then he Timahu, then he makes it tomei. And nevertheless, the Torah still makes it clear that he's chayev, so you see that that's not a valid argument. Again, the Gemara will deal with what Rabbi Yosef really would answer to that. Tosfos points out that after all, you know, it's not exact. It's not. I mean, conceivably, somebody could, for example, put it on a stick and stick it down his throat. He doesn't necessarily have to touch it. Nevertheless, though, the Torah, we would assume that the pasuk is talking about even when he actually picks it up and puts it in his mouth. And nevertheless, the Torah is saying he's chayev, even though he was already metame it by the time he touched it. And therefore, the Chum say to Rabbi Yosef, really, you see, therefore, that just because it came tomei is not a reason to patter him. An interesting point is we talked about a blot or two ago that there are a number of Rishonim who hold that Rashi discusses this. We talked about Rashi, Tosfos, and Rambam discuss this point that food less than a kibbutz in size is not able to be mekabel tuma. Well, then in that case, you could eat a kazayas and it becomes tomei, but it doesn't become tomei because it doesn't become tomei unless there's a kibbutz that points to that opinion. And nevertheless, he's chayav. So they talk about that maybe, in fact, food of Kodesh can become tomei, even according to that opinion, even less than a kibbutzah. It's called chibas ha-Kodesh, the preciousness of Kodesh. So they have more discussion. But look, again, like Tosfos says, you know, even though conceivably you can eat it without touching it at all, nevertheless, the Pasuk is implying that he's chayev regardless, so you could say the same thing over here. The Pasuk seems to imply that he's chayev regardless, even if you have more than a kibbutz. Tosfos is actually one of those opinions that says that less than a kibbutz is not makabel truma. So nevertheless, they chose to not ask a question, but rather to ask about what somebody else stuck it in. Anyway, the point is that these two machlokas have the same structure. Rabbi Yosef really is arguing that once something is posel, you can't be chayev for it again, for a second thing for it. So in the case of the shchutei chutz, if it was shechted outside the azara, it's already posel. Offering it outside the Beis Hamikdash is not going to, Rabbi Yosef really says, should not get him another chatas. And the case where the kodshim were tomei, again, it's already also to eat them, and therefore Rabbi Yosef really says there shouldn't be a second chatas for it. And in both cases, the Chachamim respond to him that nevertheless there is. Okay. The Mishnah finishes off. By the way, since we're talking about this matter of people who are tomei eating tahor korbanos, well, vice versa, the tahor she'ochal tomei, if it was the other way around, the person was tahor, ate a korban with his tomei, potter, then indeed he'd be potter from koris, rechatas, she'en chayev el al tumas aguf, because the only thing he's chayev koris, rechatas for, is where he himself was tomei, not where the meat is tomei. Rashi points out, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that we learned by analyzing the psukim, when it talks about that a person eats a korban, and tum osay olav, we talk about that means only when he himself is tomei, because tumase olav implied somebody where right now he's tomei, but later on he's able to become tahor, as opposed to food once it becomes tomei can never become tahor. Okay. Now, we know that in general, in order for, when it comes to a lav, we're going to have, and we have in the Torah, there will be a lav, there'll be some place where the Torah says, don't do this, and some place, it could be the same place, could be a different place, where the Torah says, and if a person does this, then this and this is the consequence. Sometimes the Torah doesn't spell out the consequence and we doubt it. So let's work out these things. We're saying there's two mitzvahs, not to shech the korban in the outside the azara and not to offer it outside the azara. So let's work out. The shlema hela, we understand when it comes to offering outside the Beis Hamikdash, taking it and burning it on a makeshift mizbeach, ksiv oinesh or ksiv azara. Then we have, there's an oinesh, the Torah tells us what the warning is, that he's going to get kores. And we have an azhara, we have a warning in the Torah not to do it. So Ksiv Oynesh or Ksiv Azara. Oynesh Dichtiv Vel Pesach Oyo Moed Lo Yivienu. In that section, in Achrimos, it says that if he shechts a korban in the Machna and does not bring it to the entrance of the Oyo Moed, so then he gets Kores. Azara Dichtiv, now the Pesach doesn't say there in so many words, do not shecht it outside the Azara, but it says in Oynesh, and Azara, you have a warning in Ben Pashas Re'eh, he Shomalach Dichtiv, he Shomalach Ben Talar Lezecha. The Torah says, be careful that you don't bring your olas in every place where you want. Now, how does that constitute a loisus? So it would be like what Rabbi Alvin tells us in the name of Rabbi Lazar, a general rule, kol mokum, shenemar, he's shomer, pen va'al, anytime when the Torah tells us any of these words, he's shomer, beware, or pen, lest, or al, not, then all these things constitute a loisaseh. So therefore, when it says here, shomalacha, pen kaalaylasecha, then that's a loisaseh, do not offer korbanos outside the azara. So fine, when it comes to that, we have an oinash, and we have an azhara, and we have an oinash, so therefore, fine, it's very clear a person is violating that azhara, he gets the oinash, he does it b'mezid, he's chayiv kares, he does it b'shergiv, he's chayiv achatas. El shchita, but we have to analyze when it comes to the shechting. B'shlema oinash. The punishment, yes, we have an achrimas. Again, the pasuk says that if he offers a korban outside of the azara, and he didn't bring it to the door of the oil moed, so then the pasuk also says that he gets kares. Ela azhara menolon. But where do you see in those psukim and azhara? Where does it ever say in the psukim in so many words, do not shech the korban outside the azhara? You don't have the pasuk from Re'eh. Won't help us. That's ben talar lesecha. That's don't offer them. That's not the same thing as shechting them. Now, according to Rashi, therefore, the question is, how can we be mechayev achatas for him? Achatas is only going to be when there's a lav and there's kores. So if there's no lav, then there's no kores and there's no chatas. Rashi points out the same way, for example, if a person fails to bring the korban pesach, or a person fails to have a bris milah, he's chayiv kores. We don't say, though, that if he doesn't do it b'shoydig, he brings a chatas, because there's no lav involved. So we see that a chatas requires a lav. Tosfos says that's not the issue. Based on a Gemara and Makkos, no, in fact, having to bring a chatas does not depend on whether there's an azhara or not. So rather, Tosfos says, the question really is not so much in the context of what we're talking about over here. The question is, we're saying over here that he's chayiv kores, the mezid, and a chatas b'shoydig. Now, the Mishnah in Makkos, in that same sugya, mentions that list gives a list of things for which a person is chayiv malkus. So in general, when a person is chayiv kores, there can be cases where he's worn, and if he was worn with Eidim Vastra, then he's going to get malkus. And among them is this case of shchutei chutz, where he shechts outside the Bes Mikdash. So now the question is, malkus, you definitely need an azhara. So then the question is, where is there an azhara? Where is the azhara? The answer is Amakra v'lo yizbuchu oid, because the pasuk says they should not again sacrifice. The context of the pasuk is they should not sacrifice to seirim, to demons. So that means that constitutes a lav not to sacrifice outside the Beis Mikdash, which in effect is the equivalent of bringing it as a korban to demons to get shkiz. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Haim and boiler the chedor v'lozer. What do you mean? You need that pasuk to teach us a whole different din. What Rav Elazar says. How do we know that if a person were to shecht an animal in honor of the avodah zarah merkulis, that he would be chayev whichever the appropriate penalty? Skila, if it was b'meiz, if it was eidim v'asra, koris, if it was without eidim v'asra, chatas, if it was b'shoigin. The point is, merkulis, as we learned in the Sechta Avodah Zarah, is an Avodah Zarah that's worshipped in a degrading way. They would throw rocks at it. So here the person is worshipping it in an honorable manner by shechting and korban in its honor. So now, the point is, Rashi says, we know that a person is not allowed to worship an Avodah Zarah in the normal way in which it's done. We have a pasuk that says, Eicha Yabdu Agoyim Ela Selekehem. A person might think to himself, it says in Parashas Re'eh, how do these Goyim worship their Getchkes? I want to do the same thing. So we learn from that, and the Torah says, don't do that. So we learn from that. For example, a person comes by Merkulis, and he sees everybody's throwing rocks at it. He shouldn't say, well, you know what, I'm going to throw rocks at it also. But how do we know that he can't shecht a korban to it? Nobody's shechting a korban to Merkulis. So from that, we know So Dichtiv, Rebbe Loza says, because it says, V'lo yiz v'chor, yiz v'chayim, because the pasuk says they should not sacrifice their korbanos to getchkes. Now, im eina inyan l'kedarka. Now, you don't need that pasuk to tell us where that's the normal way of worshipping this idol, because that dichtiv, eicha yabdu, because again, you have the pasuk eicha yabdu. So if you have, the person comes by and he sees people are worshipping, people are worshipping, let's say, Bel or Nevoi or whatever other getchkes that are mentioned in the Torah, and he sees that people are worshipping them by shechting korbanos to them, so then he's not allowed to do that. So we don't need another pasuk to tell you, we already have the pasuk eicha yabdu, and the Torah tells you, don't do that, so we don't need another pasuk to tell you also, don't shechting korban in honor of Bel, let's say. So Tnei Uinim Lo Shaloi Kedavka. So then Rebbe Loza says, apply it to the case of Shaloi Kedavka, the case of Merkulus. Nobody shechts korbanos to Merkulus because everybody worships it by throwing rocks at it. Nevertheless, if a person were to shecht a korban to it, he would in fact be chayav. Well then, Rebbe Loza was learning that from the pasuk V'lo Yuz B'chori. So how do we have it available to learn also that there's an azhara for not shechting korbanos to Hashem outside of this Mikdash? Tosfos, by the way, discusses this point in some detail. Rashi is saying the point is that Merkulus is usually worshipped in a degrading way. Tosfos says that no, actually, even it doesn't just mean even korban, even getchkes that are worshipped in an honorable way. But let's say people don't happen to have their worshippers didn't happen to develop the practice of shechting a korban to that getchke. So let's say, for example, they might have a getchke that they worship by vowing to it, which is an honorable thing. Nevertheless, let's say they never got in the habit of shechting to it. Nevertheless, so we can't learn from Eicha Yabdu that he would be chayav for that. So here, we're giving an example of Merkulus, but in fact, Tosfos says it might well happen. It might well be not just because one worshipped in a degrading way, like Rashi says, but even one that's worshipped in an honorable way, if it so happens that they don't usually worship it by shechting, and he shechts, nevertheless, he's chayev because of the pasuk V'lo Yiz B'chori. Tosfos goes on to talk about that actually there are two psukim that say V'lo Yiz B'chu and Zeveach Lelekin Yochram, and therefore we can learn one from one and one from the other. In any case, the point is that our pasuk V'lo Yiz B'chu Oid seems to be needed to teach us that din where a person shechts a korban in honor of Melcholus and his chayiv sfila or kores or what have you for it. So how do we learn from it? Shchutei chutz. Again, the answer is Amar Rabba Kri Bei V'lo Yiz B'chu Kri Bei V'lo Oid. The pasuk says V'lo Yiz B'chu Oid. They should not again shecht. So that means, in other words, you can break up the pasuk. If we were just learning Rebbe Lozer's din, then it would say, V'loy oy, that's Zibchayim Asirim. There should never again be korbanos to getchkes. V'loy yizbechu, the extra word yizbechu, allows us to learn two things. We can learn V'loy yizbechu, do not shecht, and V'loy oy, and not again, don't, and not something else. Oy means something else, which means to not shecht a korban in honor of any other desire. The Ritzvah points out an interesting point. We know the Torah does elsewhere tell us to not shecht korbanos in honor of getchkes and say, well, not to, but the Torah says, v'deach le'kiv yachram. The Torah elsewhere says anybody who shechts a korban to an avodah zarah will be killed, will be destroyed. So therefore, so over here, an azhara that's learned from an extra word in the pasuk is good enough. You don't need the Torah to say in so many words, do not shecht a korban to a getchke. Anyway, so we can learn like that. V'loy yizvahu and v'loy oid. So Rashi phrases it that, in other words, if it was just Rebbe Lozer's din, it could have said V'loy Oid, and it says V'loy Yiz B'chu, so therefore it tells us also Shchotei Chutz. Shittim Kovetzis brings a different girsa, kind of the other way around, that if it just meant one issue, it would have said V'loy Yiz B'chu, and when it says V'loy Oid, the word Oid means something else, so then it means a second issue as well. But the Gemara says, Akati min bori le l'chitanya. Still, don't we need the both of those limudim in the pasuk to teach us what it says in a braisa? Now you have like this. Again, as we were talking about before, there were times in history when bamas were allowed, and then there were times when bamas were also. Before the Mishkan was built, bamas were allowed. You could bring a korban anywhere you wanted. After they entered Eretz Yisrael for 14 years, and then later on after Shiloh was destroyed for 57 years. So now the braisa says, now you have like this. Again, the pasuk talks about that a person shechts a korban in the machne and doesn't bring it to the azara. So the braisa says ad kan up to the pasuk lo yizbuchu is talking about humadaber the kodshim shechdishim b'shas isra bomas v'ikrivim b'shas isra bomas, talking about korbanos that a person designated as a korban when bomas were osur and he brought them at a time when bomas are osur. So then, in other words, the Torah is telling us this is a korban that was supposed to be brought. So let's say, so the Beis HaMikdash is already standing, Bar Mitzvah also, a person designated a korban, which is now meant to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and he goes and offers it outside the Beis HaMikdash, then we're saying he's chayav kares or a chatas, or a kares or malchus or a chatas. But that would be dafka that, as opposed to, in other words, Rashi points out, that you could have, and we're going to talk about later on, and we're going to talk about later on, and then in the next paragraph, we're going to talk about cases where he was makdish animals before bummers were also. Suppose, for example, a person was makdish an animal for a korban when the Mishkan was standing in Noriv or Givon, and he didn't get around to bringing it back. Now the Beis HaMikdash has been built. Would you know from that pasuk that he's chayav for offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash? Not necessarily. You could argue that, listen, I was makdish this, and I could have brought it in Noriv or Givon. Why shouldn't I be allowed to now bring it wherever I want? So you wouldn't know that from the pasuk. But so far, the first few psukim are talking about not that case, but rather the case where he was makdish it already when bomber so osir, and then therefore the Torah is warning you don't think that you can now offer it anywhere else. And the Braisa continues, Shari Unshon Omer. Now, it says clearly the punishment for it in the Torah. Vel Pesach Oyom Moed, that he didn't bring it to the Pesach Oyom Moed, then he gets Kores. Azhara, and then for that you have a warning of shechting outside the Azhara Kodshim that were designated at the time of Isur Bomer's Dichtiv, because you have the pasuk from the A that we brought before, Hisham Lachap and Tala El Sefer. Be careful that you don't offer your oilus anywhere you want. And now we're going to assume that it refers to shechting and not, like you said before, just to halal. Tosfos points out later on, as the Gemara goes through the sugya, it's going to explain that we learn it from Gzeira Shava, that we're going to learn it from Gzeira Shava ultimately. So therefore, so the Braisa already can presuppose that and say that we can learn that. However, the Braisa in the Kan Va'elach, however, from the Pasuk, Volo Yizbuch, went on, it's talking about a different thing. Bizvachim Sheikdishim Meshas Heter Abomas, Vekrivim Meshas Isra Abomas. There it's talking about the other way around. There it's talking about, for example, that he designated a korban when the Mizbeach was in Givon, which at that point is when Bomas and Mutter, and then he offered them after the Beis HaMikdash was built and Bar Mitzvah also, or before or after the Mishkan was built, respectively. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Oman Asher Yaviyu B'nei Yisrael as Zivcheim Asher Heim Zivchim. The Pasuk says, the reason why I'm giving this mitzvah is in order that the Jewish people should bring their korbanos, which until now, Asher Heim Zivchim, which until now, they have been shechting anywhere they want. So implying, in other words, Rashi says, we're talking about korbanos that were going to be offered on a bama. We're talking about Shehein Zeichim, that they were about to bring on a bama, but now the Mishkan has been built, and they can't bring it anymore. Zvachim she tauti v'chokvar, meaning, in other words, the pasuk at this point is referring to korbanos that I previously told you were mutter to bring on a bama, because the Mishkan hadn't been built yet, and bamas are mutter. But now that the Mishkan has been built, then note there, v'yum l'Hashem, you have to bring it to Hashem to Pesach Oyomarim. So now the Braisa is going through phrase by phrase, and one of the phrases that the Braisa is going to be darshaning is the pasuk v'lo yizbuchu oy, is the words v'lo yizbuchu oy that we were dealing with before. But now, going through, the Braisa is explaining that from these psukim, we learn many of the din. So to recap. We were saying that we want to learn the Azhara, the warning, not the Shecht Korbanos, outside the Azhara. Originally, we wanted to say we're learning it from the words V'lo Yizbuchu Oy. We said, no, that's teaching us the din that you can't Shecht a Korban to a Getshke, even if it's one that's not normally worshipped that way. So we're saying you have V'lo Yizbuchu and V'lo Oy. But now the Braisa is telling us that actually from those words, we're going to douse in something else that the Braisa is going to go through. But again, so far, the Braisa is saying, fine, we do have an Azhara for the case where you were makdish them when bombers are also and want to be makdish them when bombers are also. But we still have to work out where we know an Azhara for where we was makdish them when they were perfectly mutter to bring outside the Azhara, and now though the Beis HaMikdash was built and you can't anymore. So the Braisa goes through phrase by phrase. Al pnei asada, the pasuk says that until now they were offering them in the field. Loy malach, that tells you as they veach mishas isur abamas. Person brings a korban when bamas are also malal of a kasuk kili hikra al pnei asada. The Torah counts it as though he brought it just in the field, not l'shem shemayim. And even Rashi says elsewhere for avodah zara. So in other words, the Torah wants to stress how serious this issue is. Do not bring korbanos anywhere else outside the Azara. We talked about the other day, by the way, we had the whole thing with Reuven and God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, where when they left to go back to their territory after the Jewish people had conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael, they built a giant Mizbeach over there, and all the other Shvatim were thinking that they're about to be Oivran, Shchut and Chutz, and they were ready to go to war against them. We said that Pinchas and Nesiim came and patched things up. And then Reuben and God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe explained that we're not bringing korbanos on this. On the contrary, it's a symbol that we won't bring korbanos outside the Azara. But we see that at that time it was very serious. It was a very serious concern. Anyway, so the Pesuk is stressing the seriousness of that. If a person brings korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash, when he's not supposed to, then it's considered outside the Azara. When he's not supposed to, then Hashem considers it as though he brought it not l'shem shemayim and even l'shem avod zarah. The pasuk continues, "Ve'avium l'Hashem." They should bring them to Hashem. Zu mitzvas eseh. That means that there's mitzvas eseh to bring you designated an animal as a korban. Bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. The Braisa continues, "Loisaseh minayin." How do we know there's also a loisaseh involved in where a person does not bring it to the Beis Hamikdash? Tam v'lema, the loy is v'choyd. Therefore, the pasuk says they should no longer share. So that's love. Yochol yehi onush koris. You would think in that case you should be chayav koris. Where the animal was designated before the Mishkan was built, or before the Beis HaMikdash was built. The Talmud Lema, therefore the Pasuk says, Chukas Olam, ki yazois lahem l'doraisam, the Pasuk says, this should be an eternal law for them, for all their generations. So that means, zois lahem, this, what it says in this Pasuk, is that there's an essay and a lois essay for not bringing those korbanos. Well, acheres lahem, but there's no other punishment, namely a person doesn't get kardis for that. For kardis, you have, the person will be chayav kardis only when the korban was designated, when bomas are in fact also. So the point is, the Braisa is saying that we learn from the words, v'loy is v'choyd, we're learning this point about that there's an Easter to offer the ones that you're designated as a korban before the Mishkan was built. Where is there an Azhara for, ones that you did at the time when they designated the animal at the time of Easter Bomas? So how exactly are we saying that we're learning from the pasuk v'lo yiz b'chod when the Braisa is using it for a slightly different thing? Ella Omer of Ovin. So rather, Rav Ovin says, or a different Girsa says, Abaya Kal V'Choymer. Rather, Tosfos has that Girsa. Hagoyes Habach points out that Yalkut Shimoni has that Girsa, etc. Anyway, sort of Ovin or Abaya says Kal V'Choymer. We can make a Kal V'Choymer and show that and show that a person is also to shech kodshim of any kind outside the Azara. Uma b'mokam shalay onash. He's here. Madach in the case. The lenient thing, the ones that he was makdish at the time of Heter Bomas, Shaloi Onash, he did not punish with Kores anybody who shecht them outside, his ear, and nevertheless there's a warning not to do it. Mokum Sha'onash, well then in a case where there is an Onash, Ein Adin Shehiz here, shouldn't it be a Kavachomer that there is an Azhar, that there is a warning that he is also to do that? Now the Gemara is going to ask soon, we have a concept, Ein Mazhirim Min Adin, you cannot make an Azhar based on a Kavachomer. We'll get back to that soon. Tosfos points out that at any rate, the Gemara is not going to say, what about Pesach and Milah? Because the fact is, though the Torah goes and tells you to do something, Humase, as opposed to the Lavim that we're talking about over here, is Shev Val Tasa, do not do such and such. And therefore, Abaya is pointing out, his Kavachoyim would give you an Azhara, but the Gemara is going to ask soon that you can't make an Azhara based on a Kavachoyim. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina Maravashi im Kain." If that's the case, that you could learn an Azhara from a Kavachomer, then we have a lot of lav, and the Torah didn't need to say. For example, "Lo yom lav b'chelav." The Torah didn't have to tell us a lav not to eat chelav. The case of Kavachomer min nevela, and we would learn a Kavachomer from the fact that you can't eat a nevela. Ma nevela shalei onash hizir. Ma doch nevela, a person eats a nevela is not chayav koris, and yet there's a warning in the Torah not to eat nevela. Chelev sha'onash, where then chelev, where there's a punishment of chores and a dinshe hizir, how much more so that there would be an azhara not to. So in that case, there would be a lot of lavim we could go like that. So also Chameidu Rava. So now Ravina, having asked this question, came to Rava to ask it on the lay, and Rava says, and that's not a question. Nevela Nami La Astya. Minevela Nami La Astya. No, as a matter of fact, you would not be able to learn Chela from Nevela the Ikla Mifrach because you could shlug it up. Mala Nevela Shekein Matame. Because you know what? A Nevela is more stringent because it's Matame, a person who touches or carries it. As opposed to the chelev, is not metameh at all. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the Masechta. The chelev, even though the pasuk says the chelev nevela, the chelev treifa, you also b'chol malacha, that the chelev can be used for any kind of work, and we learned from that it means that it's not metameh. So therefore, so you wouldn't even have a valid kavachomer from nevela, and therefore the Torah has to spell out that chelev is also. Okay, the Gemara says, let's try some other things. How about shrotim tmei? How about we could learn not other mitzvahs, but how about let's try learning chelev? How about mishrotz and tmein? How about let's try learning a kavachomer from the shemona shrotzim? And again, the logic would be that there's no kodesh for eating the shemona shrotzim, and nevertheless, it's also to do that. So how much more so chelev? And the answer is the same thing. Mal shrotz and tmein shematamim b'mashul. The fact is shrotz and tmein amatame when even a small amount, a kadosha, the size of a lentil, and therefore you could say they have a chumrah. Where again, as we said, the chelev is not matame at all. So, in fact, it's more than that. It's not just that. We're not talking about the tumah. We're talking about the isur. The issue of eating a sheretz would be even if a person ate only a kadosha, only a lentil size of it. So it actually is a tumas in the kadosha, but a couple of the achronim, including the Divrei Nechemia, explain that it means eating. A person eats a lentil sized piece of a sheretz, then he's also to do that, then he's chayev for it, chayev malkos for it. As opposed to with chelev, he would have to eat a kazayis in order to be chayev. So, the point is, in other words, that just saying that a sheretz is metameh would not be a strong enough thing, because after all, live sheretz is not metameh, and therefore the Gemara prefers to focus on the fact that eating a kadosha of it is enough to be awesome. On the other hand, there was a Tosfos elsewhere that takes out the word in all Gemara b'mashu. The fact is chelev is not metameh at all, and then the point is that a sheretz is metameh and chelev is not metameh. So you couldn't have learned the fact that chelev is also from a kavachomer, from shrotzin, and therefore the Torah needs to spell it out. Okay, how about mishrotzin tahorim? Fine, what about the other kinds of shrotzin, not the shemona shrotzin, which are not metame? Rashi gives examples. For example, frogs, ants, they're also to eat, but there's no tumah for their dead bodies. And nevertheless, it's also to eat them. And again, it's also to eat them. There's no kores. And nevertheless, a person is chayev for eating them. So how much more so? And there's an azhara. There's a warning not to eat them. How much more so, chelev? And the answer is you can't, because mala shrotz and tahorim, she's still in b'mashu. Because again, the issue of shrotz and tahorim is b'mashu. Again, Rashi says, eating them, a person would be chayev for eating only a lentil-sized piece of them. Because even though a lentil-sized, now when it comes to tumah, only the shemona shrotzim are matameh, and with them the size of the lentil. From that, Rashi says, the Gemara explains in Me'ila, from this, we learn from that as well that when it comes to all shrotzim that are also to eat, the amount that a person is chayev for eating is a kadosha, is the size of a lentil. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos disagrees and then says that the Gemara doesn't really conclude that over there. The Gemara says over there that the size of a lentil applies on the shrutz and tmeim. So now Tosfos says that when we say the heel kolshu, we mean a barrier. A person were to eat, for example, one individual ant, even though it's far smaller than a kazayas or even smaller than a lentil, nevertheless he's chayev. As opposed to with chayev, the amount a person is chayev for is only a kazayas. Okay, so you couldn't have learned even from shrutz and tahorim. Fine. The Gemara says me'ola v'kalaya kerem. How about let's try learning chelev, the issur of eating chelev from orla and kalaya kerem. So, that for orla and kalaya kerem, again, there's no kores for eating orla or eating kalaya kerem. There's only malchus. And nevertheless, there is an issur in the Torah not to do it. So we should be able to learn from a kavachomer from that, that how much more so chayvim. Again, this is all assuming that it were possible to do a, to create an azhara, to create a warning, a lab based on a kavachomer. Further on, the Gemara is going to ask them, can't do that anyway. But, right now, the Gemara is saying, following Reb Ovin or Abaya's logic, that it should be possible to do that, that it should be possible to create a lab out of a kavachomer. Well then, in that case, why did the Torah you tell us by Chaylev that it's explicitly that it's also when we could have learned it by one from one of these Kavachomers. So each one, the Gemara is showing how the Kavachomer won't work anyway. Okay, so my Olav Kalai Kerem, let's try learning a Kavachomer from Olav Kalai Kerem. The answer is Mala Olav Kalai Kerem, the fact is, those things are also Bahana as well. So they have a Chumrah over Chaylev, which is not also Bahana. Okay, the Gemara says Mishvias. How about let's try learning from when a person eats Paylus Shvias? That when a person eats, when there's shvius, where a person is not supposed to eat it. Now, what azhara are we talking about? The fact is, you are allowed to eat peiros shvius. It obviously can't be stop eating peiros shvius because that's perfectly mutter. Some of folks should talk about the, so what are we talking about? It can't be talking about working land during Shemitah because there's no reason that we would think that we could learn Chaylev from such a thing. But when he says Issur Shvius, what he means is, so the Rashash and the Sfasemis point out, it must mean the din that you're not allowed to eat Peiros Shvius in the wrong way. You're not allowed to do business with them. You have to treat them with kedusha and so on and so forth. So it has to be eating them shaloi kadin. But then you have to figure out, well, is there actually a lot in that? Even when it comes to eating them after the time of beer, there's a Rashi elsewhere that explains that it's only an essence. So Achronim continue to discuss it, and maybe we are in fact talking about eating it after the time of beer. We'd be following an opinion that in fact that there is a lav at that point. But then another possibility is the issue of svichin. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to eat after growth things like grain or vegetables or whatever that grew on their own from seeds that fell the previous year before the time of beer. But on the other hand, that seems to be only the Rabbanan. So actually, the Maharsham was asked this by the Abderas. And he explains that there's a Gemara elsewhere in Chulin that says that any time Hashem says don't eat something, then that's harder not to eat it. So therefore, so if we're talking about after the time of beer, then the Maharsham says then that would be included in this Lois Sorichal Kol Te'eva, and that would be the Azhara the Gemara means over here. And the Kielis Yaakov doesn't like that answer. So he says maybe instead we learn that you're not allowed to eat. Root of Shvius after the time of beer. And that would be, like the Ola Shlomo says, but that would be, in other words, we're talking after the time of beer, that would be the lav that the Gemara is referring to over here. Okay, in any case, let's try learning. Again, if we could learn a lav from a Kavachoymer, then we should be able to learn Chela by a Kavachoymer from Shvius. The answer is it doesn't work. Now the Shvius can take Festus Damer. Shvius has a chumrah in that when you sell, if you do sell, pay or trade, pay the shvius, and you're allowed to in limited quantities, then the original fruit retains its kedusha, and the money or the fruit that you exchange it for also has kedusha shvius. The Gemara mentioned this point elsewhere. Now everything else is not like that. Let's say, for example, you redeem kodshim, the kodshim now become chulin, and the money now becomes kodesh. Maaser sheni, the same thing. Most other things, the same thing. Shvius is unique in that if you redeem it for money, the thing itself, the shvius itself, retains its isser, retains its restrictions of shvius, and what you traded it for also becomes us. So therefore, so you could say that that's a chumrah in shvius, and therefore you can't learn chela by a kavachana. Okay, the Gemara says mit truma. Fine, let's learn from the fact that Zorim can't eat truma. And again, there's no kodesh, there's Mrs. Bastian, but there's Mrs. Dine Shemayim, but not kodesh. The answer is no. Shekein lehuta meklala. No, because there's no exception to the rule of truma. Truma is also to zorim, and that's that. As opposed to chaylev, you have the chaylev of a wild kosher animal is mutter. So therefore, so you could say that chaylev is not across the board is not across the board. Also, there are certain things, in other words, blood is, yes, blood is, so the Ritva actually explains that, the re of Orleans brought in Tosfos. And the Ritva explained that when the Torah says, Kochelev, Kodam lo sechelu, it sounds like it means all chelev and all blood. Later on, the Torah tells us you're allowed to eat a chelev of a wild animal, so therefore that means that it's Hutu Mikolo, you have an exception to the rule. With Truma, you have no exception. Truma is never Mutu to reserve. So therefore, you couldn't bring a kavah chomer from truma to chelav. Okay. What about the Gemara says mikulu nami? Maybe we should make a kavah of tzada shava between all of them. No, shekain lo hutru mikolam, because we have the same problem. All of those, everything that we mentioned so far, shrotim tmeim, shrotim tohrim, orla kalaya kerem, shvias truma, none of those ever have an exception when they're mutter. As opposed to chelav has an exception, as we're saying that the chelav of a wild animal is mutter. Tosfos points out then that in that case, then we ought to say fakir. Maybe we should make the chavachomer the other way around. Maybe we should say that all those things are in fact chayav kares. Okay, but the fact is we don't. All right. So the bottom line is, we couldn't have learned chelav by a chavachomer from any of the other ones, and therefore, so that doesn't prove. Maybe indeed we could create an azhara based on a kavachomer. Just in from the chelav is not a proof because we actually can't find anything from which we could make a kavachomer. However, the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, e kashali, ho kashali." But really, rather, my question is as follows. The question really that we should ask about Rav Ovin or Abaya, who would learn from a Kavachomer that there should be a lab of a Shecht and Korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash, even if it was, when you were Makish in the time of Isur Bamas. So Rav says, Hal Kashali. What I have is the following question. The beginning of the Sefer Kursus lists all the things for which a person should be Chayiv Kores, where if he does them, B'Shogeg, he's Chayiv Achatos. And it says among them, so it lists a bunch of Loisa says, and then it says Pesach and Mila or Mitzvah Saseh. So a person is Chayiv Kores for not doing them, but as we said before, there's no Chatos for not doing them. And now, why not, says Rava, taste of a Kavachomer in Moses. Why can't we make a Kavachomer and create an Azhara about the Pesach and about the Mila? In other words, like this, the Torah tells us, bring a Korban Pesach. And if a person does not bring a Korban Pesach, it's Chayiv Kores. Same thing, Mila. But there's no lav in the Torah. There's no lav. Do not fail to bring the Korban Pesach. And if you do, you're going to be Chayiv Kores. Do not fail to make a Bris Mila. And if you do, you're Chayiv Kores. You have no such thing. But Rava is saying, based on what Rav Ovin or Abaya is saying, we should be able to create such a Kavachomer. For Pesach and Mila, we should be able to say Mekavachomer bin Moisir. We should make a Kavachomer from the Torah tells us not to leave over from the meat of the Korban Pesach beyond the deadline, and make a Kavachomer. Ma Moisir shaloi onash. Madach, when it comes to leaving over, there's no onash for it because it's a lav. It's a lav hanitik la'eser. When he leaves over, he has to burn it. And yet here's here, and yet there's an issur in the Torah to leave over the meat of the korban. Lo yaniach mimenu ad broker, or the lo yisiru mimenu ad broker in the case of the korban pesach. Pesach and mila sh'onash, then by the korban pesach and mila, where there is an onash of koris energy in here, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that there would be an azhara? So based on what Rav Ovin or Abaya is saying, there should be an implicit lab. Do not fail to bring the korban pesach. Do not fail to do a bris mila. Why don't we do that? And then there would be a chatas for failing to do it. The answer is Amar Rav Ashi, Amrit L'Shmaita, Kamei Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi says, I told over this discussion, this statement of Rava, to Rav Kahana, V'Omar Li, and Rav Kahana answered me, Mimoisir Loi Asya. No, you can't learn a Kavachomer from the case of leaving over the Korban Pesach, the Ikla Mifrach, because you could slog it up. Mala Moses, Shekain Ein Loi Takana. If you leave over from the Korban Pesach, there's no Takana. Fine, you can burn it afterwards, but the issue itself of leaving over has been accomplished, and there's no undoing that. How do you compare when it comes to Pesach, where there is a Takana, because you always have Pesach Sheni, and Mila also, you can always have, the person didn't do it, Bris Mila yet, he can always do it later. So you can't even learn a Kavachomer from Moisir, that still doesn't demonstrate that you can't create a lav from a Kavachomer, as Rav Ovin or Abaya is saying. So now, the next thing we're going to deal with, which we'll take up tomorrow, we'll start over here then, we'll do this last little bit over here. The Gemara asks, Since when, anyway, Rav Ovin or Abaya is taking it as a given that you can have an Azhara, you can have a warning, a lav, based on a Kav HaChomer, but you can't do that. Even there is an opinion in Marcus that you can punish a person, that a person can get Malkus based on a Kav HaChomer. Rashi brings the relevant Gemara in Marcus. That we have a Kav HaChomer to teach us about certain arayas. So you have a machlokas tanoim over there, whether the person is going to get the oinesh because oinesh min adin. So even according to that opinion, ein mazvirin min adin, you can't create an azhara based on a Kav HaChomer. In order to, the person has to know that this that he's going to do is that he's not allowed to do. So you can't have a Kav HaChomer to learn, you can't have a Kav HaChomer to do that. So Reb Yitzchok is a Tana over there who holds that Oinshin Min Adin, but even he agrees, Ein Mazhirim Min Adin, you cannot warn a person based on a Kav HaChomer. You need an explicit warning in the Torah. So how is a buyer or a oven thinking, and we just went through this whole discussion of potentially Mazhirim and Adin, when it's clear that nobody holds that you could. So we're right. The Gemara says, Ella, so you're right. You cannot learn the limit. We cannot learn that there's an Isser on Shechting Korbanos outside the Azara when he was Makdish them at a time when Bomas are already also. You cannot learn it from a Kav HaChomer, like from Ovin or Abaya says. Rather, Ella Kidur of Yechanan. Rather, the reason is based on what Rabbi Yehuda said. The Omar, where he says, as we'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, ask you havo. You have a zera shava on the word havo. Because by both the one who offers the korban and the one who shechts the korban, it says the expression, it says lo yivi enu and lo yaviyo, which comes from the same shodesh. So malahalam, lo onash, elim ken hizu, just like when it comes to the halal. So the offering, there's no kodesh without a warning. There's an explicit warning in the Torah. Do not offer your korbanos anywhere you want. And there's also kodesh for it. In the same way, over here, there's no warning unless there's an azhara. Now, Rashi explains why that is not a problem of there's no explicit warning. Because when there's a gzeira shava, once the gzeira shava is mufna, once the words are available on the pasuk, then it's considered as though it's explicitly spelled out in the Torah. Then, because a person can't make a Zeta Shava on his own, unlike a Kav HaChomer, a person can come up with on his own. So one Tana or one Amora is going to come up with a Kav HaChomer, and the other one will slug it up, and therefore we don't have a valid basis for a lav. But when it comes to a Zeta Shava, a person can have a Zeta Shava only if they learned it from his Rebbe. And it's Mufna, the words are available, and therefore it becomes very obvious that that's how it is, so we could create a lav based on a Zeta Shava. Rava Amar Kedir Rav Yonah. Rava gives a different answer, like what Rav Yonah says. The Amar Rav Yonah, Asya Shom Shom. We have a limud from the fact that it says Shom. It says in the pasuk Shom Tal Olisecha. The Shom Tasid. There you should bring your Olis in the Bis Mikdash, and there you should do everything that I tell you. Rashi explains this matter of Zera Shava. Rashi explains this is a Hekish. So we have a hekesh, malahalim, but onash, elim, ken hizu, just like when it comes to the offering of the korban, there's no onash, unless there's a warning, afkan, but onash, elim, ken hizu, the same way when it comes to shita, there's no warning unless there's no punishment, again, unless he was warned, and therefore that means, in other words, so we do have a lav based on, and Tosfos also points out that it's a hekesh, so we do in fact have a lav based on a hekesh, and that's valid. Rashi elsewhere explained the reason is because a hekesh also, a person can't come up with a hekesh on itself. Tosfos, on the other hand, disagrees elsewhere and says that a hekesh person could learn by himself, but the fact is that evidently Tosfos says there's something that was taught to Moshe by Har Sinai, that there's a difference between a Kav HaChomer, which you can't make an azhara, a law based on a Kav HaChomer, versus the Gzeira Shava and a hekesh you could. And also the point is that Achronim point out, is the hekesh is very strong over here, because why does it need to repeat the word shom? Shom ta'afer l'secha, v'sase, kol ha'shonechem etzaveka. You should bring in korbanos and do everything that I told you. Why repeat the word shom? Implies that we actually have a very strong hekesh over here, and nobody can shlug it up, and therefore it is in fact a valid way of, it is in fact a valid hekesh that we can use to create a lav over here. So therefore we can learn from that. So we have two ways then of learning that there's a lav of shchutei chutz. when the korban was designated, when the Beis Mikdash is already standing, when the Mishkan or the Beis Mikdash is already standing, you have abayas that we're learning from a Gzeira Shava, and you have robbers that we're learning from a Hekesh. So then we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we're going to discuss the and get more into this matter of Shkotei Chutz and the ins and outs of it.